When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Pressure said more times by football journalists and fans this week than Freddie Mercury on Queen's Greatest Hits. Manchester United are the pressing team now, that's what we're told. And in fairness, we did see a fair bit of it. Ralph Rangnick's spell as interim manager of the club begins with a 1-0 win against Crystal Palace in the Premier League. And for the first half hour at Old Trafford, this was an intense, energetic and exciting performance in which United somehow didn't manage to convert one of our many chances. 11 shots in half an hour, although only two on target. In the end, Crystal Palace weathered the storm and it then needed a delightful curler from Fred to give United an important 3 points and begin what we hope will be a sustained climb up the Premier League table. Welcome to the Manchester United Weekly Podcast to Series 7, Episode 18 with me, Harry Robinson and Jack Tate, as always. We'll be talking about the Palace game and also the Arsenal game. We'll also be talking about Ralph Rangnick, of course, and about Michael Carrick. And finally, about Wednesday's match against Young Boys in the Champions League. United already qualified as group winners into the knockout rounds. But one final game to play. Young Boys going for that third place Europa League spot. So we'll see how the game goes and we'll talk about that. But for start with Jack, an enjoyable Sunday afternoon watch for United. Could have been more goals, should have been more goals. It wasn't perfect. There's lots to improve on. But what was, I guess, the overall nice thing about it was that United came out knowing what we wanted to do and we did it. And we controlled the game. When we played well, we dominated the game. When we kind of laxed off a bit, Palace looked better, but we were there, as I think Barney Ronay said, maybe, or the Guardian's football journalist said, United were this game's protagonists rather than mere participants. And you haven't always been able to say that recently.
Yeah, clearly far from perfect, but I thought it was a lot of positives to take from Ralph Rangnick's first game. In his introductory press conference on Friday after the Arsenal game, I thought he spoke really well and he spoke a lot about the need for control in games. And we saw probably more control in this game against Crystal Palace from United than we have at any point in the season so far. Again, it was far from perfect. And especially in the second half, I think we did let the game slip away from us a little bit. We were, you know, lucky that Palace didn't score just before Fred got our goal on the score sheet. But I think in general, you know, there were a lot of positives to take after just one training session. We could already see some of Rangnick's ideas being put into action. The way we pressed high up the pitch was far better than we've seen probably ever at United, quite frankly. I think this was the most ball recoveries in the opposition half that we've had since Sir Alex retired. So, you know, that alone is a very, very clear indication of the way that we want to play. And it really positive signs we've managed to do that in such a short space of time with the new manager. There's a lot to work on, but I think we saw that this United team, there's been so much hand-wringing about whether this group of players is capable of playing the way that Rangnick wants to play. And I think this sort of put that to bed a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this United side is clearly capable. And I think we knew that. I think most people could recognise that. And yeah, Rangnick said before he held his work permit was confirmed on Thursday. He did his club interview on Thursday, which was then
released Friday morning when he did his first press conference. He didn't have the players who'd played against Arsenal to train with on Friday. They were recovering. So it was one training session on Saturday and it absolutely pissed it down. It was really windy, he said. So they had 45 minutes on the pitch in the pouring rain and then did most of the work on video and in conversations between coaches and players. So yeah, not that much changed. It was a slight formation change, but the same players that played Arsenal, it was more, I think there were a few specific things. I think the players knew their roles very well. There was a bit more kind of a discipline in those roles. Ronaldo didn't drift as much. Bruno didn't drift as much, but that applies to everyone. I'm not just picking out those two. It was just the first half an hour was really, really good and exciting. I think the energy kind of fell after that point, and that means United are going to have to work on being a fitter team. But you can't really keep that intensity up for a whole game anyway. It's about picking your moments and controlling the game in the moments that you can't do that. But yeah, we went with a 4-2-2-2 formation, which worked well. We got the best, and this was something Rangnick said, we got the best out of every player on the pitch. And again, that's not something we've always been able to say. But yeah, it worked well. All the players looked like they were square pegs in square holes.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock, to be honest, because the team sheet that we put out, it set up, at least on paper, perfectly to be in the usual 4-2-3-1 with McTominay and Fred behind, Bruno as a number 10, and then Rashford and Sancho out wide. So it was a real surprise to see that team sort of play this sort of narrower style with Sancho and Bruno very tucked in behind Rashford and Ronaldo as a proper front two, but it worked really well. I liked in particular Sancho being more central. I thought he was very involved in the game. He obviously, you sort of lose out some of his one-on-one ability out wide, but it was nice to see him in a more sort of central area. I thought in midfield as well, it was really good. I thought Fred in particular had a great game, but I liked that his role was a lot more proactive in attack. You know, I think Fred he's not the most controlled player, but he does have a lot to offer in a sort of more, I think, sort of box to box role. It's what he plays for Brazil, and there's been a lot of clamouring recently for him to be given a bit more opportunity to go forward and play that role. And he did it really, really well. It did just feel like there was a lot more clarity on the roles that each player had in the game, especially out of possession, which was really nice. And it wasn't just the pressing. You know, the first half an hour in particular was great in that regard. But I felt at the back, even when, you know, Palace got into our own half, and so it's not really about a high press at that point, we just looked a lot more disciplined defensively. And it's encouraging that we're seeing, you know, real substantive change already after, yeah, like you said, yeah, just 45 minutes on the training pitch, which I don't think we expected. I think I, at least personally, expected a bit of a bump from sort of, you know, this new manager and some new energy around the club. But I really didn't expect to see very much changing in the tactical way that we approach the game. So that in itself, I think, is a really good sign moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. I think what we'll see over the next few weeks, I think I said this on the podcast last week. I might have just said it in conversation with a mate, but such is the frenetic nature of football that I've forgotten. But I think we'll see over the next few weeks, possibly a couple of losses, kind of surprise losses when teams work out how to exploit us. And I think that there were a lot of weaknesses that other teams can capitalize on that we showed against Palace. I think the weaknesses we've long had are set pieces and corners. And if you crowd De Gea at a corner, you can probably cause some trouble, if not score. You can also, if you counterattack when you cross to the far post, to the back post, our fullbacks are probably out of position, so you'll probably score. Those have been long-standing weaknesses. I think what we saw with the pressing, and as you say, with Sancho and Fernandez tucking in, is we kind of, I mean, the pressing, it wasn't like a constant, intense, consistent pressing. That's not what it was, which obviously wouldn't be possible anyway, but it was sudden bursts. It was these kind of sudden bursts of acceleration and swarms. And that's what I think we'll expect going forward. The only thing is, it was brilliant in the first half hour because Palace kept trying to play out and we kept winning the ball back, and then we'd have chance after chance. There were minutes where we had two chances within 1 minute, both separately carved out, not like a shot and then a rebound. That was brilliant and it was great to watch. And it wasn't successful in the end because we didn't score. I think the problem is we saw in the second half, after half time, Palace then looked for that long ball, switching over diagonally. to the other side of the pitch, where because we're swarming one side, there's loads of space. And I actually think if Palace, I don't think Palace played that well, not as well as they have played in other games this season. I think if they'd played better, they probably would have won that game. For as much as I was pleased with what I saw from United, Palace should be disappointed they didn't win that, because as much as we dominated for the first half, in the second half, if they'd played better, there was space there for them to capitalise on, and as well as that big chance for Jordan Ayew. So there are lots of areas that future opponents, I think, will look at that game and think, all right, we can take advantage of that. But yeah, as you say, it was really pleasing, and there were all these firsts. I mean, I think it was Ronaldo's best half hour in a United shirt since he came back, that first half hour. Properly, just all round brilliant performance, both in how he pressed, but also how he created chances. He didn't always look for the shot. The one I really liked was when he headed long ball up to him, and he headed back to Bruno rather than shooting straight away. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Really positive. Best performance, obviously, for Dalot, for Telles. One of Fred's really good ones. I thought Sancho played well. I thought Bruno played really well. So lots of first, plus the big stat going around was we won possession in the final third on 12 occasions against Crystal Palace, the most we've done in a Premier League match since Fergie retired. There was also 87% of our passes in the first half went forwards. That's a sign of proper domination. They're all first Premier League clean sheet since the Spurs game in early October, and the most passes into the final third that we've managed all season. All of these great things. But yeah, as we said at the start, not perfect. Lots of areas where I think other teams can take advantage of us.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be a work in progress, I think, for a while. And especially the second half showed that there is still, you know, a lot of weakness in this United team. You know, it's far from the finished article. I thought even in the first half an hour, as good as the pressing was, there is definitely still a lot more to come. It was what I sort of saw that was very different from previous is that often in this United team, you'd see one player, it was often Fernandes, would go and put pressure on someone and there'd be no reaction from any of the players around him. In this game, obviously Rashford, Sancho, Ronaldo. Yeah. In this game, there was that reaction. So if one of them went to press, it happened a few times with various players, they'd go put pressure on the man on the ball. There was a clear reaction from the other players. And then it would become this sort of more coherent way of putting pressure on the ball. You cut out the easy passes. And as you mentioned, Palace eventually adapted to that with the sort of longer switches of play or just putting the ball further forward more quickly to stop us from being able to put them under that much pressure. I think what you'd like to see as United move forward is for that press to not have to be triggered just by one person, but you'd see a trigger in the way that the play is moving. So whether it's a goalkeeper passing out to a centre-back or as the ball is travelling, you'd see all of those players moving at once rather than it having to rely on one person on our side to be the trigger and then everyone reacting to that. It makes it a lot more proactive. And then you'd also want, you know, whoever's on the side of the pitch furthest from the ball. So if Palace have the ball in their right back position and we have, say, Sancho, Ronaldo, Rashford, Bruno and Alex Telles maybe putting pressure on that side of the pitch. On the opposite side, you'd want one of the midfielders and maybe Dalot or Wan-Bissaka, whoever's playing right back, to also be ready to cut out that long switch of play to the other side. So there is still a lot to be worked on, even in the pressure that we were putting on Palace that was very good in the first half an hour or so. There is still a lot more to come, I think, from this United team. And on the ball, I think we're still yet to sort of see exactly how Ranić's playing. There's been so much talk about what he wants to do defensively, and I think that probably was the priority for this United team. And we're starting to see some signs of what that might look like. But I think there's still a lot more for us to see. Yeah. In terms of how Ranić wants us to play when we have the ball. You know, the sort of main thing that he has spoken about in the past is that he likes, you know, getting the ball forward very quickly and turning winning back possession into shots on goal in the first few seconds after winning it back. But past that, there's a lot less clarity on what his style of football looks like in attack. And I don't think we saw that much in the way of big changes from Solskjaer's time at United. Obviously, we had a bit less width in attack because of the formation that we played. But other than that, it was quite a lot of the same. And I mean that both in the positive and the negative sense. You know, we still have these great players on the pitch capable of creating a lot. But I don't think there was that much in the way of a clear system and how we're playing going forward yet. So that, I think, is still to come.
Well, it was another it was an individual moment of brilliance from Fred, which was excellent. I think the one thing I noticed in terms of on the ball stuff and attack on the ball stuff was a lot of those floated diagonal balls over the top, especially from Bruno Ronaldo. I thought they combined so many times in the first 30 minutes. Other people as well, but particularly them, whether it was from Bruno to Ronaldo or Ronaldo to Bruno, and it didn't always come off. In fact, it never came off properly because we didn't score, but I thought it was good and exciting. And I'd imagine that kind of floated diagonal ball over the top we'll see quite a lot. It's kind of how I think it was possible because of the system, the way that the 4-2-2-2 allowed space to be created meant there was that space to have that ball, and Bruno or Ronaldo was in the right position to play that ball to the other one. I mean, it's 90 minutes after 45 minutes on the training ground. There is obviously so much more to see, but for now it was good. I think the one thing we did see is the passing was forwards more often, but whether that's because of player confidence, because of what they were told, or because Palace kind of allowed it to happen, we can't be sure yet. I think with any manager, you kind of have to, I mean, how many games do you have to wait? 5 minimum to really see what's going on, and to properly see, you kind of need a few months. But I think after 5 games, you can really know what they're going for with some certainty. And after 1, you can kind of see some hints. And I think that's what we've seen. And I think those hints were positive. We should talk a bit about Rangnick off the pitch, because as I said, Friday was his first press conference. He obviously spoke after the game as well. And it turns out he is an excellent talker who inspires confidence.
Yeah, it was... I've got to admit, I was sort of hesitant on, I guess, feeling too... maybe not excited. I was excited about Rangnick coming in, but sort of investing into the person, the man of Ralph Rangnick, because he is going to be an interim. But he swept me away in the first press conference already. You know, it was just great to hear him talk about football. We haven't had a manager that goes into so much sort of tactical detail in public facing interviews probably ever, to be honest. And I really love that trait in managers. I think it's great for fans to be able to get a more of a glimpse of what a manager is trying to produce. And what I thought was great is that I think in sport and in life, I think a lot of human decision-making is too focused on outcomes. You know, and in football, that means if you win a game, everything's fine. And I think, you know, we talk a lot, Harry, on here about, you know, even when United do win games or when we have a positive result, the performances often aren't that great and it, you know, has worrying signs going forward. And yeah. I love the fact that Rangnick talked specifically about that with the Chelsea and the Arsenal games. You know, he mentioned that, yes, we got the win against Arsenal, but we didn't have enough control of the game. Yes, we managed to come away from Stamford Bridge with a 1-1 draw, which is a pretty good result. But I think Chelsea had like 20-odd shots and we had 3 or 4. You know, I love the fact that he mentioned those things. And the thing that really stuck out to me was, I tweeted about this and I think a few of the podcast fans reacted to it, was that he mentioned that he wanted to reduce the coincidence factor in games by having more control. Now, we've talked so many times, Harry, about fine margins really being a defining part of Solskjaer's time at Man United, defining both games and sort of longer term legacies, whether that's, you know, the Europa League final against Villarreal, so many of the comebacks that we had last season. And we've said that before, that part of the reason why this United team was so susceptible to fine margins is because our baseline performance is often sort of a 1-goal win over most teams in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And so then if 1 or 2 events sort of randomly go against you, that becomes a draw or a loss. And so you're sort of constantly living on the edge. Whereas you, as a top team, really what you want to be doing is your baseline performance being, you know, 3 or 4 goals better than the opposition. So that even if things go against you, you just have a narrower win. You know, you're just winning 1-0, 2-1. And I think it was great for me to hear him speak about getting control of games more to reduce the chance that sort of randomness goes against us effectively.
Yeah.
And I thought he spoke it, you know, so well, and it got me so excited for what we're going to see, because I felt like he came across as a manager that is really going to focus on improving the performance levels and the results will take care of themselves from that, rather than if we win, everything's fine.
Yeah, I agree. It was the line was about the coincidence factor, wasn't it?
Yeah, and exactly.
That was a lovely... I also love it when clever people can explain things very simply and in few words. And in fairness, Ralph Rangnick is not a man of few words. He loves to talk, but he could explain not really complicated things, but he's got an ability to explain reasonably detailed, complicated things in short sentences and simple language. He doesn't feel a need to kind of add complicated language. And that was the same after the game. It was lovely to hear a United manager kind of be open about what our tactics were. And I fully understood why Solskjaer and then Carrick as well. Solskjaer and his coaching staff were very guarded over their tactical approach and pretty much everything, actually. They're often hiding information on injuries, on tactics, on all sorts of decisions. And that's fair enough. You can take that approach. But it was also nice to hear a manager talking through our tactics after the game about why he'd chosen to go with a 4-2-2-2, why he'd played two number 10s, why he'd played two strikers. I thought, it just gives you confidence, doesn't it? Whether that translates to on-pitch success, we shall see. The two, I don't think, are linked in terms of often things that please fans such as that are not actually related to on-pitch success, but I'm just saying it was nice. Before we move on to Young Boys, which is on Wednesday night at Old Trafford again, three consecutive away games followed by three consecutive home games, which is strange. But before we move on to Young Boys, let's talk about Michael Carrick and about the Arsenal game, which was a five-goal thriller. Not something that Rangnick will hope to see from his United team, but it was a thrilling game and it was a great kind of end-to-end affair with some refereeing controversy and a dramatic announcement at the end that Michael Carrick was leaving the club. Firstly on the game and then on Carrick's decision. What did you make of it?
Well, the game was a bit all over the place, really. And I think Fred's performance was probably a bit of a microcosm of the last 2.5-3 years at Man United, to be honest. From the sublime to the ridiculous in, a matter of moments. And that continued throughout the game. I mean, it was a fun watch. It was a very fun game as both teams going at it. I thought we did okay in spells. I thought Arsenal did okay in spells. There was clearly, I think, a lack of cutting edge going forward from both teams. And that feels a bit weird to say that when there was a 5 goals in the game. But I didn't think either team looked particularly threatening for a lot of the game. But I think Carrick should take a lot of credit for, the way he managed to sort of steady the ship after Solskjaer went. Two wins and a draw in three very important games against, pretty good opposition. And I think he did some things tactically that were slightly different. I think we saw us be a little bit more aggressive in defence. Certainly against Chelsea, we saw that again a little bit against Arsenal. You can't really say enough good words about Michael Carrick and his time at the club, both as a player and a coach, now as caretaker manager. And I think it does make sense that now is the right time for him to go. He's worked now under Mourinho first, then Solskjaer. I don't think there was much to gain from him being around under Rangnick as well. Rangnick clearly has a very defined style, and I think it makes more sense for him to bring more of his own people in. I think Carrick this week has probably done him the world of good in terms of his chances of landing a managerial job himself someday as well. So I don't think he needs, another 6 or 7 months being an assistant coach. I think he's had his time and he's sort of proved, I guess, to the outside world that he has the ability to be a good manager. And I think it makes sense. This is the time for him to step down.
Yeah. I just thought looking at it from a Carrick perspective first, rather than a United perspective, I just thought, good decision from him a good time to cut ties. And, I think a very nice way to go, having had a great record as caretaker manager. And as you say, from a career perspective for him, he's kind of put himself, advertised himself as someone who can be relied upon, who can talk well, who can get a group of players playing again after a few years as an assistant. I think it would have helped for him to be around as Ragnik settled in. Just, I mean, for a new manager to come in such a busy period, you need the old coaches to have the insight into players' personalities and their qualities and how to get the best out of them. So I think it would have helped if he'd stayed. But yeah, the right decision for him, I think. Right, the Young Boys game on Wednesday, followed by Norwich on Saturday. And then Brentford on Tuesday, I think, off the top of my head, followed by Brighton. And then, as we were talking about pre-recording, then we have a strange 9-day gap in the festive period. We've got 8 games in December, and yet we have a 9-day gap in the middle of it, which is weird. But Young Boys, clearly very important to get momentum under a new manager. On the other hand, we've already topped our Champions League group, and this could be a great chance to play a lot of kids and fringe players. It's a strange balance.
Yeah, it is an odd one. If we didn't have a new manager, you'd say absolutely there should pretty much be no sort of first 11 starters playing. And I think it still does mean that, to be honest. I think we'll still see a lot of changes. But maybe instead of sort of 9 or 10, as we might see otherwise, maybe it'll be more like 5 or 6. I think I'd expect Anthony Elanga to start. He's someone that supposedly really caught Ranieri's eye in the first training session and was rewarded with that, with a place on the bench, and then coming on even before we scored against Crystal Palace, which I think is a great sort of show of his faith in Elanga. I expect he'll start. I expect maybe the likes of Jesse Lingard to come in. You know, I think it's an exciting opportunity for some of those players to play in a Champions League game. It's obviously great for us that we've managed to top the group already. And I think it'll be interesting to, you know, just see how Ranieri adapts to having potentially a not first choice, you know, lineup. This is, to me at least, this is one area where I think having a manager like Ranieri that has such a clearly defined style of playing, these are the types of games where that skill should show up. Because we've talked before about the fact that Solskjaer was always so unwilling and reluctant to rotate because his style was often reliant just on the ability and talent of his players. And so then when you lessen that talent, the overall ability of the team to play well and function well was just massively diminished. And so the benefit, at least on paper, of having a manager with a very clearly defined style is that these players that are, you know, have lesser ability can come in and still produce at a high level because they're within this sort of clear structure. So I'm interested to see how we might go in that regard. But I mean, there's a few injuries that are going to stop us from rotating quite as much as we might like. But I'd expect to see at least 5 or 6 changes from the Crystal Palace game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Future, I guess Dean Henderson will come into the team. You'd hope, but just from a personal perspective for him, he deserves to play in the cup games at least, if not the league games. And yeah, Elanga will be a fun one to watch. I assume Greenwood will come in. He played for the first time against Palace off the bench, played for the first time in a month, one day less than a month. Last game before that was the City game, which was November the 6th. He then tested positive for COVID. So it's good to see him back. And I actually thought his assist for the Fred goal, it's not like an incredible pass, but I just thought the decision not to shoot from him was really good and mature and possibly a sign of learning. And I also thought, given he'd just come back from injury as well, even more impressive to, because he received the ball, good first touch, but then saw, I think it was Guehi and Conor Gallagher in front of him. There just wasn't really the space to shoot. And yeah, decided not to shoot and waited and then played it back to Fred. I thought that was mature and impressive. And yeah, as I say, particularly when returning from injury, when I assume he's desperate to get a goal again and get his goal scoring form going again. Yeah, in terms of, I mean, it's not as if there is a clear structure yet in Ragnik's team, because we played 4-2-2-2, but we could play 4-3-3, we could play 4-3-2-1, 4-2-3-1, but at least there is a clear style of play, as he likes to refer to it. So other players who could get a chance, Jesse, although he's slightly injured. Martial's also had a knock, but we'll see if he's back.
Cavani's not ready yet, is he? He won't be able to play.
No. Yeah, Cavani and Varane still on the way back. We didn't actually talk about Fred, and we've got a couple of spare minutes. So, Fred, great goal, great few weeks. made the mistake at Chelsea by trying to chip Edouard Mendy and massively failing, but didn't make the mistake this time. And also just, I mean, not even from a performance level, but the celebrations were lovely. What a likeable person.
Yeah, he is. I think Fred is, he's almost a bit of a comical character at times because he is just everywhere. We've called him a bit of a Duracell bunny before. And that really does just sum him up. In every game, it seems like every important thing that happens, Fred is involved. And I mean that both as the utmost compliment and also a terrible insult, because in every good and bad thing that United do, Fred seems to play an integral role. And I think, you know, him playing a part in the winning goals in both the Arsenal and the Crystal Palace games was, I think, basically is almost reward for two very good performances and a few good performances in recent weeks. He's very quickly becoming one of my favourite players, to be honest. He's extremely frustrating at times, but in those moments where it comes off, he's just a lot of fun to watch, and he's so likeable in the way that he plays the game. He's always got a huge smile on his face. He always looks like he's having fun. And I think seeing him with a bit less, I guess, responsibility in the defensive sense, in that he is being freed up a little bit more to play a little bit further forward. It's just fun to watch him, because anytime he picks up the ball, you feel like anything could happen.
Talking about the kind of freeing up, it was interesting. I thought Carrick for the Chelsea game obviously went with that three-man midfield, Matic, McTominay and Fred. And Matic and McTominay sat a bit more, and Fred kind of had that license to, as you say, Duracell bunny everyone and charge about. Winning the ball back. And then he did the same against Arsenal. I'm not sure it's something we'll see going forward. I'm not sure it fits the kind of Ragnik style. I'm not sure it's really realistic for United to play two defensive midfielders and one kind of Duracell bunny. And it shouldn't happen. But it was an interesting concept and a good one from Carrick, given the circumstances.
I'd really like to see, actually, a midfield three of Fred, Matic and Van der Beek at some point. I think that those three could end up working quite well. I think they complement each other nicely. I think Fred and McTominay, we've said for so long, as good as they are defensively and sort of covering so much ground, they are limited in terms of giving us that control, because on the ball, Fred is quite erratic and McTominay is quite conservative in that he doesn't really look forward too much. I think if you get Matic in there, and one of his strengths is his ability to push us forward get us into more forward positions when he's on the ball. Put him alongside Fred and Van der Beek in there, and I think that could be a trio that could work quite well. I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah. Although, interestingly, Ragnik said Fred and McTominay did almost everything perfect. I also loved Ragnik's line on, I've only known Fred for 2 days, but I already love him. He is a sunshine. I thought it was nice. And on that very nice note, we'll wrap up. Thank you for listening, everyone, to Series 7, Episode 18 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. For more from us throughout the week, you can find Jack on Twitter at
UTD Tates, TAIT.
And you can find me at Harry Robinson 64 and the podcast itself at UTD Weekly Pod. That's P-O-D at the end there, which is where you can find out about how to sign up to become a patron, where you'll get bonus Q&As at the end of every show, which we're going to go and do now. But for the rest of you, thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show and have a great week. Goodbye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.